It's time to Talk It Over, starring Diane Diamond, Lee J. Berman, and Louise Palanker. Give us a call at 888-531-7171. Email us at talkitover@gmail.com. Join us online at talkitoverradio.com. Because we're ready to talk it over.
Welcome to Talk It Over, the program that solves the world's problems two people at a time. I'm your co-host, reporter, and news hound, Diane Diamond, along with my esteemed colleague, Lee J. Berman. How you doing, Lee J.?
Great, Diane. How you doing?
Oh, good, good. Of course, as anyone knows who listens to this program, Lee J. is our professional mediator extraordinaire. Now, the third part of our equation, Louise Palanker, is a little bit under the weather today. That's why I'm at the top of the show. But she is with us. Croak hello to everybody, Louise.
Hello.
Oh, golly, you are not feeling so well.
What I have no proof that I'm not B. Arthur.
Well, we're very glad you're here with us, B-Weezy.
I'm happy
B-Weezy.
To be here.
We're going to call you B-Weezy for B-Weezy. This program. Hey, Lee J., at the very top, now we have to share with our audience, you have some glorious family news, right?
I do. My brother and sister-in-law gave birth to Abigail Rose and Bennett Montgomery, and we are just so excited to welcome them to the family. Their twins are about 6 pounds apiece, and they're just adorable, and it's not just because I'm their uncle.
Wow. Oh, yeah. No, that has nothing to do with it.
Never.
He learned all four names. Did you hear that? He had like four names in a row there that he rattled off, like, and he's only just met them.
And what's the little boy's name?
Bennett Montgomery. Sounds
the
like
third.
He needs the third after.
Yeah.
Bennett
like
Montgomery Berman the third.
Esquire.
Like, Esquire, yeah.
Like Thurston Howell the third on Gilligan's Island.
Exactly.
Or
and it was kind of funny because there was a negotiation over Abigail's middle name because the mom, before she went in, said she liked Abigail Marie, and my brother and the mom's mother both wanted Rose. So while she was coming out of the drug state after she'd given birth, they kind of negotiated with her and got her to agree to Rose.
I like Rose, and I'll tell you why. Hear me out. My name is Louise, mm-hmm. and ask me how many times a day someone meets me and then says, oh my God, that's my middle name. Louise and Marie are middle names. Do you want to know why?
Why?
It's the rhythm.
That's true.
The accent is on the second syllable, so it sounds nice as a middle name. Da 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 da. Matthew Louise.
So when you're mediating the name of your newborn child, remember
his middle name is Louise. You guys didn't hear that?
Remember this. But you know, we always start with stuff in the news, and here's what's in the news that is capturing my attention: these highly overpaid. I can't even get the words out of my mouth without sneering. These overpaid athletes that I don't get why they get so much money just for playing ball.
They need
but
bullets.
They do. And then our children idolize them, even go so far as to call them heroes. And what do they do in return? They go into a nightclub in New York and they shoot themselves in the leg. Did you hear this Plaxico Burress story?
First of all, I didn't hear enough of it to get over the fact that his first name is Plaxico. Right there, I'm jolted, and I have to turn the station or turn the page of the newspaper. Plaxico.
Well, who would have a little tiny baby in their arms and say, "Oh, let's see, James William? No, Plaxico. That's
Plaxico
a great
Plaxico Marie
and his and his sister Levitra Rose.
Whatever. Anyway, I have always been so concerned about our young people idolizing these athletes when really they shouldn't be. There's another one in the news recently, Richard Collier. He works with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's now in intensive rehab, learning to walk again because he was in a nightclub and got shot.
Wow.
You know, I just think, isn't this a great opportunity when these stories hit the news to sit down and talk it over with our young people to say, you know, look, they may be able to play a game, but they're really just flawed human beings like the rest of us.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for a conversation about they're not superheroes. They just do one thing exceptionally well.
Right.
They happen to carry a football through traffic really well or catch one in traffic or whatever they do. But it's just one thing they do well. It doesn't make them worship worthy.
About every other aspect of their personality, they're just like us or maybe even more flawed because I have a lot of theories about these kids that are so good at one thing that they're just funneled into that one activity throughout their entire upbringing and they more often than not miss out on some of the character developing opportunities that the rest of us, you know, have been given when we're shoved into our locker and called
poor Louise
and called pizza face.
My maiden name was Hughes,
right?
And I had a weight problem as a child. I'm still battling it now, and so I was huge Hughes.
Sweetie.
But the jocks and the athletes, they don't get that, you're saying. They get pampered. And
oh, completely.
Yeah.
Well, and everybody idolizes them from junior high to high school. You know, the kid with the letter on the sweater, if they even still do that. But I just really hope people in the audience take it as a time to sit the kids down and say, what do you think about this? Isn't it strange that you would go someplace where you think you have to take a gun to protect yourself? This was Plaxico Burress's line.
Yeah.
I had to take a gun. I was going to a nightclub. Well, how about not making that decision? How about not going to that nightclub, the Latin Quarter, where their violence is an every night occurrence?
Yeah.
So I just think it's a good abject lesson to talk to our kids about.
And I hope he gets well soon. I know he shot himself in some sort of body part. Is that not what happened? Plaxico?
You know, I mean, you should
speak to this.
Can I call
you
Plaxi? Yeah. Lee J, I mean, a couple of inches and he might not have just shot his leg.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I think he caught himself in the upper thigh, if I remember right.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that right,
gun meets gun.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oops.
Well, another crazy story in the news, nothing to do with this, a complete 360 here, folks. But, you know, we settle disputes, all sorts of people, two people at a time. You ever have a stray animal come to your back door, and you know it's not like a woods animal. This is like an animal that has escaped from somebody else's house. And mm-hmm. what do? Do you feed it? Do you try to find the owner? You know,
the last stray animal that came to our back door, I have to say, was a raccoon and ate all the little fish in our little pond. So we're not so welcoming of the next door neighbor's animals anymore. But go ahead, Diane. I'm sorry.
I do try.
I try and
read the name on the collar and see what if the address is there. We were going for a walk in Buffalo for Thanksgiving, and my nephew and my boyfriend and I, a dog just kind of started tagging along. So I grabbed his collar and tried to see what his name was, but everything was rubbed off except the part that said rabies vaccinated. So my nephew just started calling him rabies. Come here, rabies. That was the only part we could read. I don't think that's actually his name.
The reason I brought this up is there's feuding neighbors in Portland, Oregon. Donatella and Charles Whitaker claim that their neighbor kidnapped their 4-year-old Siamese cat. The neighbors say, no, we did not. We kept the cat because you were neglecting it. This fight, you guys, has been going on for 16 months. The Whitakers have plastered little flyers all over the neighborhood with the pictures of the neighbor calling them cat thieves.
Oh, boy.
And the cops have been called. They have taken now this whole thing to court. Now, Lee J, there had to have been a way to talk this over in the beginning.
Yeah, not to mention a better use of our tax dollars at work, probably. But, you know, I'm just so concerned after hearing this that somewhere in Portland, some family is going to leave their child out in the backyard hoping he'll stray next door and the neighbors will feed him and take him in. And when he's 18, they'll go back
happened.
And say, you kidnapped our child.
I don't think
this
so.
This is just, I'm sorry. Sometimes it's just ridiculous. And this is one of those that's ridiculous. And you know, I love attorneys. They make my job so much easier when I'm mediating. But every now and then you get somebody who says, sure, I'll represent you in your cat kidnapping case and file a claim against your neighbor so you can keep the cat and a custody dispute. And all. I mean,
Lee J,
I just don't understand.
Doesn't this sound like one of those stories that's not really about the cat?
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bingo, Louise. You may be sick today, but you hit the nail on the head.
Exactly. You know, how you talk this over is you've got to sit down and have a discussion about what is it about the way we were taking care of our cat that makes you think that cat needed rescuing and get into that kind of a discussion. It's not a I win, you win discussion. It's let's work together because if it's really about the cat, let's make the cat healthy. And you know.
Dr. Phil would say we need to put the cat first.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what do? Real quick, what's the language you use? You go back and go next door and say, I know you got my cat. I want it back. And what?
Yeah, clearly something in the way that we were taking care of the cat made you feel the need to step in here. Let's talk about that because we sure don't want the cat to be neglected. But by the way, you know, it is our cat. We have to have him or her back, you know. That's the way
like
you start.
Our property. Well, if you have a dispute like this and you need some special professional mediation advice and then some wise cracks from me and Louise, you can call 888-531-7171. 888-531-7171.
And next up on the Talk It Over phone lines, we've got Clinton. Hello, Clinton.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Clinton, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Okay. I actually have a comment about the cat situation.
Cool.
I like when animals stray next door. I like to like just teach them a new trick, just to confuse the owner when they get it back.
Clinton? Like what?
I just like you know, like you use trigger words. You know, that words that anyone would use, like refrigerator or microwave. Or television, and then that next time they're in the living room with their dog, and they're like, turn on the TV, and the dog just rolls over and plays dead. It takes a while for them to figure it out, and it teaches them to keep a better rein on their animals, you know.
Clinton, I think we need a co-host. Are you willing to come sit in with us? I like the way you think.
But that's probably not why you called, right, Clinton?
Oh, no, not at all. To be honest with you, I have a little bit of a dispute with... a roommate, and he's not here right now, so
talk
it's
quick.
A good time for me to call.
If he comes in, just talk like this, okay?
Go ahead. If all of a sudden I start ordering something, like you guys are a catalog, you know,
right. Or speaking pig Latin, right?
Uh-huh. No, basically, my roommate Doug, who we commonly refer to as it's his preferred nickname. We wanted to get a refrigerator. Actually, we're moving out. It's been a very amiable relationship the whole time we've been together. And when I say been together, I mean living together as heterosexual roommates. Mm-hmm. And the
we're clear.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
Okay. But what's the dispute here?
Well, basically, I'm moving out. I'm moving to a place by myself, and I wanted to get a refrigerator for the kitchen in my new place because there's no appliances included. And so we started looking up some ads on Craigslist, and I have a pickup truck, so he was gonna just help me go over and like load it up. And we found one particular ad on Craigslist, and this is just the bizarre thing that happened. When we called, it was his grandmother. It was his grandmother's house.
Oh my goodness!
she was selling the refrigerator on Craigslist, and so he was like, "Oh, that's crazy." And so I admit I was thinking I might get like a deal, you know, since I was friends with him and it was his grandmother, and we went over, and this is the problem. Before we realized it was her, I talked to her several times before he was kind of privy to that information, and. She was, you know, really trying to sell me hard on this refrigerator, and she kind of made some false promises. She basically, like, she
So let's cut down to it. What do you got for us? What do you need to have a discussion with her about?
Well, I just need to figure out. She lied to me about features like ice makers and things like that. I got over there. I got it in the back of my truck. I opened it up. I realized that these features weren't there. I rejected it. I said, no, I'm not going to take this. He was, you know, he was there. And then she said, well, I'm going to charge you for my time.
Well, you're just lying granny caper. Wow.
I'm thinking you got out negotiated by a little old lady.
Right. So she wanted to charge me for like walking to the curb, and I just refused. So then he's sitting there and he won't help me take it out because, like, you know, you got to side with your grandmother. I understand that. But so I had to basically just like jimmy it out of the car myself, like set it on the sidewalk, and I drove off. I left it there with his grandmother because she was like, yep. And it was just, so now we're here back in the apartment together. There's not that much longer till we're out, but I kind of want to make it okay.
So is he mad at you, or does he kind of understand why you reacted the way you did?
That's the problem. I think that he doesn't understand, because I kind of understand, like, when it's your grandmother, you know, it's like you've got to side with your grandmother, but she's acting crazy.
And, so you guys are just not, you're not even speaking to each other, and you need how to talk it over with him to leave there in good spirits.
I think you could
I just need an intro, I guess, into the conversation how I'm supposed to.
So, Clinton, let me jump in. First, let me ask about the refrigerator. Were the features that important to you? You couldn't negotiate $20 one way or the other with her over the ice maker and things like that? Or did this did it just escalate into something that got out of control?
It was more aesthetic. It was scarred up, and then those features missing, like the ice maker, which was just something she just said on the phone that wasn't actually in it.
So let me be clear. You flat out don't want the ice maker.
It didn't have
the refrigerator at this point, right?
It didn't have electricity. It was an ice box.
Okay.
Stop.
All right. So what you've got to do is sit him down and say, dude, we got to talk about this. You know, I'm sorry that it worked out the way it did with your grandmother, but I totally don't understand what happened there because, she just misled me into believing what features it had.
Yeah, don't use the word lied. Just,
right. And look, I just needed not to own that refrigerator. And if it had been somebody else, I would have probably gone off on her, but it was your grandmother. So I was trying to be nice, but look, I don't want this to come between us. I don't know how we got here, but we got to be okay about this and then let him talk. And that'll open the discussion.
Basically acknowledge how unique and awkward the situation
is.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And then call us back and let us know how it went.
Okay.
All right, Clinton. Thanks so much for calling Talk It Over.
Yeah, good luck on that one, Clinton. I still say she was a lion granny. Anyway,
lion granny.
You are listening to Talk It Over Radio. You can join in the conversation, too. Give us a call at 888-531-7171. If you can't get through, you can just leave a message, 888-531-7171, and the charming producer, Trish, will call you back. Oh, and by the way, you can drop us an email, talkitover@gmail.com.
All right.
I don't know. It's kind of hard to go up against somebody's grandma.
I think he should pit his granny against her granny. Granny against granny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rather than trying to do it himself.
Toward what good end?
Laughter.
Oh, maybe. Hey, do you guys remember the story that we did about the widow here in New York, in Long Island, who buried her husband and then found out that he'd been buried without his brain?
Yes. That's not an
easy
one to forget.
That?
I've tried. I've had therapy. I've been to counseling, but no, it remains.
Yeah,
it,
that was kind of a tough one to even talk about. But this woman was really angry. She didn't want to sue the hospital, but she was going to. But we figured it out that really she just wanted an apology. Well, we got a phone call from a listener. She is a KERI listener. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, she didn't leave us her name, but she weighs in on this widow to widow. Give a listen.
I'm calling in defense of the widow, being one, and there are many of us, as someone who has had the horrible discovery that the widow that has been described on the program is almost unthinkable. But certainly there should be resolution and the body part replaced, in my opinion, regardless of what they have to do, without losing any more. Jesus replaced the ear when Peter cut it off. It's important that the body parts be there.
Isn't that interesting? You know, we thank that lady for calling in. Again, I wish she had left her name. She's a listener, Bakersfield, KERI. Now, I must say, Louise, I think maybe this was for you. The rest of her call, she was a little upset at the levity at which we had delivered that original story. She didn't think it was very funny.
So Louise is our resident comedian. It's your fault.
Yeah, it must be your fault. No, look, come on, what is it? You know, sometimes you just have to take a smile in some of these things. You know, right, Louise?
I don't remember what I said, but whatever it was, I'm sure it was offensive. And confident of that. And yes, he should be replaced with his entire body and buried the way his wife would want and would be able to visit his the cemetery and pray accordingly.
And we do try to find, Diane tries to find some stories that we think are kind of funny that we can laugh off at the end, near the end of our show each time. And maybe we did have a little too much fun with that.
Way too much fun.
Poor widow.
Yeah.
But we do thank her for calling.
And yes,
anyway.
Of course. Thank you for sharing. You're always welcome, especially if you disagree with me in particular, because I certainly need to be slapped upside the head from time to time.
And Diane, they should call us where?
They should call us at 888-531-7171 or hit the email, talkitover@gmail.com, talkitover@gmail.com. We have some emails in the box. We'll get to those in a minute, but I think we have another call.
Yes, we do. We've got Alan on the Talk It Over phone lines. Hello, Alan.
Hi, how you doing today?
Very good. How are you? Thanks for calling,
great.
Alan.
I have a conflict, a dispute, if you will. It's not quite as meaty as the grandma, but and certainly not quite as morbid as what you were just talking about. But I have a job at I play the piano with a trio at a beautiful resort two nights a week, and the lady that books the job, she can't play, by the way. She keeps every winter season, she gives the job to her pal up in the north that comes down. And for a few years, it worked out okay because I was available to, you know, get some other work. But now, with the recession, there is no work. So I'm saying to her, how do I approach her since I've been here all along for the past couple of years, you know, to rightfully say that, hey, this job Saturday, you know, this should be my job this time around?
You know, I think this is a fairly easy one, because what we have here is a lack of understanding about why she replaces you every holiday season with some of the key nights, right? We don't know what she's thinking. So to me, this...
Well, she's... Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I mean, she's... You know, it seemed to work for me a couple of years because there was, you know, better paying jobs out there, was more activity and that type of thing. Now there's not as much out there. This is what they call a steady. This is a year-round steady.
Right.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's certainly not the end of the world, but what happened was she told me that... I told her I had taken off a couple of Saturdays, and then the next thing you know, she just emailed me. Of course, nobody can talk to you, talk it over. Nobody can talk it over directly anymore with you. We just send emails.
Well, Alan, I'll give you one way to approach this, but I'm sure Diane will give you another as soon as I'm done, because I hear those wheels spinning. The way that you can go in with this is say, what's her first name, Alan?
Pardon me?
What's her first name?
Stephanie.
Okay, so you can go in and say, Stephanie, help me understand something here. I've been your guy, and I've helped you build the following here, and we have a nice thing going together. I think it works for you, it works for me, it works for everybody who comes in here, and everyone seems to have a good time when they come in. If there's something I'm not doing that makes you feel like you need to replace me for the holidays, I'd sure like to know what it is, because I thought we were developing the kind of clientele who would all want to come out during the holidays, especially on a big Saturday night, and, you know, hear me play and enjoy your comfortable place.
Right, true. It's kind of like there's a low-level cronyism going on.
Is it possible that you just weren't reliable over the holidays because you did ask for certain days off, so she's just decided that...
Right, that's her issue.
If from now on you intend to be reliable, then you need to communicate that.
Right. She didn't give me a chance, though, this year.
And see, that's why I'm suggesting the conversation, that you ask some questions, because she may say, oh, I didn't realize you wanted it, and then, boom, the misunderstanding is cleared up. But this way you're not coming at her in an aggressive way or something that's going to make her defensive and have to say, well, I couldn't rely on you. Or, you know, if you say, I don't understand, if there's something I'm not doing right, you know, please tell me, because I certainly want to make you feel like I'm your go-to guy.
That's definitely not the case, because I'm carrying the whole thing, basically.
Yeah. So, Diane, any words of wisdom for him?
Well, you see, I'm being quiet because I know, check your watches here, the time of day, Diane Diamond agrees entirely. I really do. I mean, you need to go in and just say, the only thing I would add is make yourself indispensably sounding. Like, I thought I was here. We have developed this clientele. We have people that come back because I'm here. I really enjoy it. And in the past, I have gone other places for the holidays, but I really was hoping this year that I could just continue it uninterrupted. Is there something I'm doing wrong? Then you've made yourself indispensable and completely cooperative all at once.
Yes.
And that's very good line. Something I'm doing wrong, because I do everything right.
I know. And listen, Alan.
Just at that job.
Listen, play and sing your response.
Okay. There you go. I'd much rather do that.
With the background. Da, 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 da.
We'll provide that. We'll provide that.
Alan, you got to call us back and let us know where you're going to be playing. Maybe we'll pop in one night.
That sounds super. Thank you, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you for calling, Alan.
Good luck talking it over.
That is a good one, because everyone needs work this season. Everyone needs work. Yeah. No one wants to miss a day of work, because that's some presents they could buy.
Yeah.
So it's really important that we communicate with our coworkers and with our supervisors so that we can optimize our you know, our working potential this season.
You know what? I know we have another caller holding, and we're going to get right to her. Sue is hanging on. But let me just tell you, in my household this year, my husband and I wrote an email or sent cards to everybody, and we said, no presents, no kidding. We mean it. We're not giving any. We don't want any. Write a check to charity instead.
Wait, but you said it so well, Diane. Before the show, we were talking about it, and you said, we don't want any because...
Because I don't need anything to drink. I don't need anything else to read or anything else to dust in my house. Thank you. No gifts. Period. All right. Now, Sue is on the line, right, Matt?
Yes, we've got Sue on the Tuck It Over phone lines. Hello, Sue.
Hello. I've called in before, and you helped me so much with my problem.
I recognize the voice. Nice to hear
you,
Sue.
Well, I have a new problem. I have two cousins from New York that I love dearly, and they visit me like once a year, and I had invited them for the holidays. But they have two little dogs, and last year they brought these little dogs, and it was a very unpleasant experience. I have white carpeting, and one little dog got diarrhea and soiled my carpet in a few places. I asked them, just one favor, don't let the dogs on my beds. And they did let the dogs on my beds, and one dog soiled a custom spread. And how do I tell them that they're welcome to come, and I love them dearly, but how can I tell them not to bring their dogs?
You know, I think you just said it perfectly, Sue. I mean, this is one of those where you have every right to ask for what you're asking for. It's your home, and you gave them the benefit of the doubt last time and had a bad experience. There's absolutely nothing wrong with you having the conversation with them and saying exactly what you just said to us, which is, look, I love you guys. I want you to come visit. But last time when the dogs were here, we just had these problems, and explain it to them and say, you know, I'm just not willing to try that again, but I sure hope you'll come. Is there something else that we can figure out together?
Oh, I have a much better idea.
Go for it.
She installs poop-colored carpeting.
Louise.
What?
Well, but it sounds to me, Sue, like these are people that don't go anywhere without little Princess and little Tinkerbell or whatever their names are.
That's right.
Tinkerbell.
That's absolutely right. And I did say, well, you know, the dog got sick last year. Well, this year the dog's okay. The dog urinated in my kitchen, and I stepped it in my stocking foot.
Sue, I think you have to call Paris Hilton back and say, look, it's just not going to work this year.
No purse puppies.
And you know what? You can even offer to help find kennels.
Yeah, or do you have a garage in your home?
I live in a condo, and I live on the fourth floor. And,
it's not going to work.
They allow dogs in this building, but I just had that terrible experience, and I don't want them bringing their dogs.
Yeah, you know, Sue. Sometimes people call this show, and it's pretty clear to all three of us that they're looking for permission to do what they want to do.
Yes.
So,
bingo.
You know, that's usually
bingo.
Louise's department to grant that permission. Louise, do you want to grant Sue permission?
You have the right to say no doggies.
Yeah.
No doggy zone.
But I don't want to hurt their feelings.
I don't care. You won't hurt their feelings. But they
hurt your feelings
exactly.
By bringing them in and letting the dog poop all over your blankets.
And not doing enough to remedy that at the time. I mean, did they at least jump up and say, the people, not the dogs, and say, yeah, you know, we want to pay for the dry cleaning for the blanket or the quilt or, you know.
Yes, they offered that, but of course I wouldn't allow it.
Right.
And it's a big inconvenience, too, when you have to go and get all that done. So
but you're well within your rights to say, look, you know, I really want you to come visit. This is so hard for me to say, but I just can't go through that again. I hope you'll understand.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank
Good
you.
Good luck. Let us know if they decide not to come, because I'm thinking, Sue, they may just decide not to come and visit you.
And that's okay.
Well, I would be heartbroken if that happened, but...
Well, tell them that, too.
Exactly. Tell them that.
Yes, exactly.
Good luck. Happy holiday.
Thank you. Same to you.
Sue, you just keep calling us.
Thanks for your help.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I do recognize her voice. She's called us about a dispute with the landlord and the gate that wouldn't close.
That's what I was remembering, too.
I love this here, that we just have this cadre of people that listen to Talk It Over Radio, and they call us at 888-531-7171, or they email us. On the other side, we've got a bunch of emails here, folks. Do you see them there in the mailbox?
I do.
We're going to get to them when we come back, right? Decide which one you want now. The one from Gallup, New Mexico, Massachusetts, Nevada. Wowie.
If you'd like to be part of the Talk It Over family, call 888-531-7171 anytime or send us an email to talkitover@gmail.com.
We are back on Talk It Over Radio, solving the world's problems two people at a time. And we're well on our way. I think we've done, you know, we've done some great work tonight and today and whatever time of...
You're not feeling very well, Louise. I can tell.
I don't even know what time it is.
Her forehead, she's a little feverish, folks.
I got a little
Well,
cold.
Listen, as promised before the break, we just have a mailbox full of email here. Let's go. I like this one from Sally and John in Gallup, New Mexico. I think they wrote a song about that, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, we are so happy to finally see the return of thrift as a cherished value in our society. But one of the families in our kids' group of friends still doesn't get it. They spend and give gifts like money grows on trees. It's really out of balance with how the rest of us are. Every time one of the kids has a birthday, this family spends two or three times as much on a gift as the rest of us do. It's making people uncomfortable. How do we talk it over with them without making it sound like we are all cheapskates? We feel thrifty really is trendy again. I like Sally and John.
Absolutely. I love the values. I think, frankly, they have to have a value discussion, not a dollar amount discussion. You know, we talk in conflict resolution and conflict management. We talk about the position, which is the offer or the dollar amount of the gift in this case, versus the interest. And the interest is, we're trying to teach our kids that thrift is something to be valued, and we want to work with you on that. And your generosity has always been so wonderful, but right now we want the kids to understand that it's not a big expensive gift that means you love them. It's just a gift and the thought and all of that. Can you help us? Can you work with us on this?
Or another idea is dollar amounts. And this year, my family, and probably a lot of families this year, have gone to dollar amounts. Let's not go over this amount so that nobody feels that they've been outdone or that they haven't done enough. But everybody can keep within, you know, what this year's budget is, which is a little tighter than years past.
And, you know, we did the same thing in our family that Diane did. We all just sort of said, look, no gifts except for the kids. Because the same reasons Diane said, we just don't need more stuff around the house. Except, by the way, for my mother-in-law, in case she's listening, she has the best taste in clothes, and every shirt I get from her I love.
Keep on giving, mother-in-law.
But seriously, I mean, this is something that we are doing a value shift in our society right now, and it's important that we talk about it with each other rather than just waiting for other people to catch on if we've had a change in heart. You know, this isn't the go-go 80s or, you know, the 5 or 10 years ago where people were, you know, just spending oodles of money because people were rolling it. It's a different time, and people's feelings have to be taken into account along with that too. There are a lot of folks out of work or who've lost big chunks of their savings accounts. So it is a value, and it's something that needs to be discussed.
Yeah, and two, give people some good language out there, Lee J, for talking to the kids. Because when I said earlier that my husband and I have told everybody, no gifts, nothing, please, we're not giving, we don't want, too much to dust already, thank you, I didn't mean the kids. And we are giving each of the kids something in the family, but we're not giving them 17 things. We're giving them one nice thing. So how do you explain that to the children? How do you talk it over with kids?
You know, I think that one of the ways is a nice family meeting if they're all in the same place geographically. And if not, if it's each individual family having this conversation, what you really have to do is sit them down and say, let's talk about gifts. Let's talk in general about the meaning of giving gifts. We give you wonderful gifts because we want you to have fun and play and all of that. But, you know, and talk with them about the meaning of gifts and why.
Well, but and the meaning of the holiday. You know, I've really started to think, I guess, as I get older, this is Christmas. I mean, I'm a Christian. I know that you all are not, but I'm a Christian. And this is Christmas is about Christ's birth and death and life and his story, and I wish I could bring it back to that, but I don't know. It's overwrought. It's overrun by material things.
But,
you know?
But even still, not to take that message away, but to expand upon it, all holidays are family time. You know, they're not necessarily Hallmark time or time to go to Walmart and splurge or whatever, or Costco or something. They're time for family to spend time together, and there is some value in that. And for the kids to see their cousins and, you know, all that sort of thing. And all of that is part of the message of gathering for the holidays. And we do need to bring kids more back to that place so that they're not saying, oh, but I want the latest, you know, Game Boy, Nintendo, Wii, whatever. You
Excuse
know.
Me, how many Wii games can they make? Can we just pay them to stop making those things?
Not Wait. Enough, Diane, not enough.
Wow. Santa makes them, Diane. Oh, so please don't rain on Santa.
It's the elves. Yes, I forgot. Silly me.
Well, should we take a caller?
Yes.
Sounds good.
Next up, we've got Frank on the Talk It Over phone lines. Hello, Frank.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good, Frank. Great. Tell us what's going on with you.
Oh, good. Well, first of all, I want to thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And I have an issue that I never thought I would have a problem along these lines, but...
That's okay, Frank. It happens to everyone every now and then.
yeah, and I know. It's frustrating, and I'll get to my issue is we have about six of us in a workplace, all working in cubicle areas. So everyone, you know, there's no typical cubicle. There's no... ceiling, everyone can hear everyone talking, and, you know, I consider myself to be a pretty mild-level speaker, but sometimes, you know, you have some personal issues that arise on the telephone from time to time.
Frank, are they listening to you right now? Sorry,
and,
go ahead.
Yeah, it's a frustrating problem, and my wife called me once a few weeks ago talking about our Christmas gifts, and she was out doing some early holiday shopping, and we were trying to narrow down how much we should spend on so-and-so. And, you know, trying to keep my workplace calls to a minimum of probably 2-3 minutes. But lo and behold, about a week later, one of my coworkers doing a little bit of complaining about how she is low in the pocketbook as far as holiday shopping is concerned. And she said, well, I don't have as much as him over there. And I was just like shocked at it. She said, well, you guys are spending this much on your cousin. And I felt like I was hit by a freight train. You know, we've worked together for a number of years, but... I thought that was really overstepping the line as far as just being respected.
Oh, my God. He's not your secret Santa.
Yeah.
Did you
really
say anything
really
to that coworker about that nasty crack?
Yeah, how'd the conversation go?
I just said, well, what are you referring to? And she said, I heard you on the phone, and I was thinking, like, my gosh, I was being chastised for something that was I barely remember.
You know what I think? You just look right back at her and you say, excuse me, my cousin gave me her kidney. And we'll shut the whole thing down.
It could be a lie, but it's a good comeback.
She doesn't know what that cousin means to you.
Let's lay the land about a couple of things. First of all, the holidays are a stressful time for everybody. So where that coworker may not normally have been listening to your conversations, in this case, she may have been just because she's stressed and all that sort of thing. Secondly, we take for granted conversations about money, and it's a very difficult thing to discuss because people place an inordinate value on money in our society. And when we talk about what your house is worth or, you know, things like this, we have to be very careful that people are liable to be offended even when we don't think it's an offensive discussion. I have a lawyer that I've worked with here in Los Angeles who's a friend and who sent a blast out to all of his friends on LinkedIn and a mass email and everything else with a link to his house for sale because he was anxiously trying to sell his house for $1.7 million.
And, poor guy.
And I thought that was such bad taste because, and I'm sure he didn't realize it because, you know, maybe everything in his neighborhood is that price, but how many people, including his clients and his colleagues and associates in his law firm or whatever, saw that and just thought, wow, you know, we just have to be very careful with talking about dollars at all because we never know how people are going to respond to them. Mm-hmm. So, Frank, getting back to you with your question, this is one where I think it's perfectly appropriate. You know, every workplace says, at least in California, you get an hour lunch, you get 10 minutes, you know, morning break and afternoon break. I think the fact that this coworker intruded in your privacy in that way is a good message to sort of say, I need to take a break and step outside if the weather is okay, or step down the hall somewhere private to have this conversation with my wife, just for, out of the concern that somebody else could be listening to us talk about how much we're going to give to a cousin for Christmas. It's a dangerous discussion, even though it shouldn't have to be. But now, do you want to have a conversation with this coworker, Frank?
I just wanted, you know, being very nice, but at the same time saying, you know, please respect my privacy. I respect yours. Let's find a happy medium here, you know?
Yeah, and I think the only thing I would add to that is, you know, we all have different values about family and money, and, you know, you don't know what goes on in my family, and I don't know what goes on in yours, but, you know, this is just out of context, and I, you know, aside from the fact that you were overhearing my conversation, it's certainly not something that we should be discussing.
I can tell that it's still bothering you, Frank.
Yeah.
All this time you call us to ask the right way to speak to her. But what you just said there was very good. You know, I would approach her this way, Frank. I would go to, it's a her, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, I would say, Mary, listen, this has been on my mind for all this time, mm-hmm. but you remember when you said, well, you know what? I really felt violated by that. And I've been carrying it around all this time, and I'm not mad. I just want you to know that we work in tight quarters. I respect your privacy. What did you say? I respect your privacy, and you should respect mine?
Right. Perfect. I said, let's find a happy medium here. You know, no one's trying to offend anyone. We're just having casual conversations, private, at least intended as such.
Yeah.
She maybe is ruminating over this too, maybe sorry that she said it. I agree with Lee J that in this time and these bad economic times, people are really, really sensitive, and they're really, really worried. And she probably feels terrible that she did that, but maybe not.
Yeah, and we've worked together for a number of years. I know that's really not her, but it was kind of like, boy, that really struck me.
Tell her you overheard her calling her gynecologist.
Right.
That'll make her be quiet.
You know, here's a quick one that I think can help Frank and help everybody else too. When somebody comes up and asks you a question like that, you don't have to respond to the question. What you can do is say, wow, it sounds like you're under a lot of pressure these days, aren't you? Or, you know, something that really calls them out on what it is. So that's food for thought for everybody, too.
That's a good idea, yeah, because that's not the normal person that I know.
Thanks for calling, Frank, and good for recognizing that.
Thank you very
much. Absolutely. You're listening to Talk It Over Radio. You can join in the conversation by giving us a call at 888-531-7171, 888-531-7171, or talkitover@gmail.com. I'm getting a frog in my throat. Louise, you're making me sick long distance here.
she's that contagious. As she coughs.
I can hear it in her voice.
Yeah.
Say, we do have a lot of emails in the box here, so let's get to a couple. This is Niles. Oh, I love that name. Niles in Pismo Beach, California. My problem is short and sweet. I want to know how to talk with my friends who have recently been fired. Mm. Just talking about this. My company has just laid off dozens and dozens of people, and several of my college buddies have also gotten pink slips recently. I'm the lucky one, but I almost feel embarrassed because I still have a job. How do I talk it over with them? What do you say?
Wow, embarrassed because I still have a job.
Yeah, ooh. How many people are in that position these days? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Especially if you're in Detroit or mm-hmm. certain other places where there's just been a lot of layoffs.
A lot of layoffs. And they always do them before the holidays. It's
end of the year,
yeah.
Yes.
Well, I haven't told you to, but my brother, who just had the twins,
mm-hmm.
got laid off 2 days before they came.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
and
no.
I know he's not alone, and this is the first time it's ever happened to him in his life, and he's so happy and ecstatic about the babies coming, and at the same time, absolutely devastated and in shock about, I mean, he was just blindsided. He knew layoffs were coming, and he sort of had assurances that he wasn't one of them. And, you know, like I said, he's not alone out there. This is a difficult conversation that we have to have with friends, with as Niall says, with college buddies, with coworkers who are recently laid off coworkers.
So what do you say? What does Niall say? What did you say to your brother?
This is a time for expressing concern. What Niles needs to do is say, hey, I'm really sorry. Are you all right? Anything I can do to help? Yeah, and just be there for them. Because you obviously shouldn't feel guilty, Niles, that you still have a job. You also probably can't turn around and offer them a job because you're an employee yourself. So there's nothing you can actually do to fix the problem except just be there for them. Let them vent a little bit. Let them talk to you. Let them have an ear to lean on. I think that's the best thing Niles can do at this point.
And also, I think one thing, as you're saying, Lee J., to keep in mind is don't ignore, don't pretend it didn't happen or avoid the person. One thing that is very common when there's layoffs within a company is for everyone else to consider you to be poisonous. They don't know what to say. They don't know how to act. It's almost like a death.
Yeah.
And so they choose to disappear. And that's not the right way to handle it.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's okay to face it, look at it, and see what it is and say, you know what? I am so sorry. Yeah. You didn't deserve this, and this is harsh, and I'm here. Call me if you like you said, if you need an ear.
Empathy and compassion. But now let's take it one step further, and this has happened to me. Mm-hmm. They get laid off. They're never going back to that job. Let's just face it. They've been fired. Mm-hmm. Now they need a loan.
Yeah.
What do you do?
That's a whole That's a whole different situation. That's not good between friends, in my opinion.
Yeah, and this is a place where it's okay to say, I really just can't do that. We've got our own issues in my family, with finances and everything else, and I don't want that to come between us. Let's go out and, have a beer together, or, my wife and I'll have you and your wife over for dinner or something like that. But I don't loan money to friends, or I can't, or, I just don't want to do that. Some way out of it that is honest,
right,
and respectful, but that continues to be there for them in some other way.
That would completely complicate our relationship, and I know it's just not a good idea.
But come over for dinner, I guarantee you that person will probably say, no, well, forget it then.
No, that's okay. I mean, at least you're being there and making an offer to help ease the burden and to be a good friend and, good company for them and all of that. That's all you really are obligated to do if you're a friend. It's not your fault they got laid off. It's not your fault that they may be in financial straits. It's not your fault they didn't save enough and put away enough all this time. And if they're really in a bind, you've got to say, I'll be there every way that I can for you, but I can't do that for you.
Every other way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I love the part of the Talk It Over show when we get the voicemails and the emails and the people calling in. But I also like to talk about our own dilemmas. And Louise, you have one. What's your conflict?
I do. And it's kind of like an addendum to a recent discussion I had.
Not
with you guys.
The water bottle guy again.
No, it's not water. I know, Diane, how much you love that saga and that you wish it were a miniseries and that it would continue. But
what they did is they delivered a water bottle with the flu virus.
Maybe that's what
that's
happened.
It.
Maybe the new.
For some reason, Louise gets water delivered to her house in those big jugs, but they're empty. Anyway, that's not your conflict.
Oh,
all right,
yeah,
go ahead.
And guess what happened?
What is it this time?
My new water company, Arrowhead, not to mention any names, but I have the opposite problem with them. It doesn't matter whether or not I've drank the water. They just keep delivering bottles. So now my porch looks like a water factory. There's seven bottles of full water.
Be careful of what
you wish. All right.
For.
Do you guys remember when water I told you that my landlord and I had a miscommunication about when I was moving out
and
I decided since I was going to be out of the country to go ahead and say that the new tenant could move in as long as she respected my things and moved my things into one room and she lived out of the other room at least until I got back. All right. Who wants to guess what that apartment looked like when I walked in to move?
Oh, no.
Our things were cohabitating and having babies.
Didn't just stick to one room.
No. She completely unpacked. She didn't move my things out of any room. She completely unpacked, and her things were inextricably melded with my things.
Like down to like the underwear drawer and stuff?
Not quite that far, Diane.
Okay.
Although I know a lot of gentlemen would enjoy picturing that. but I walked in when the movers finally got there and they looked in, because they were, all they saw was an apartment just full of things. And I said, okay. And then I had to literally point to a piece of furniture and say, that's mine. The thing on top of it is not mine. The thing on top of that is mine.
Oh,
the thing on top of that is not mine. And that went on for every corner of the apartment.
Wow.
to the point where the movers actually walked away and said, we need to hire another guy. And they disappeared for an hour and a half, leaving me sitting there. I hauled everything that I could possibly carry out to my car, filled it up to the brim with my belongings that I could carry, and the movers still hadn't come back, and I just felt so frustrated. And when they finally did come back, you know, I was angry. I was at my, you know, I was at that point where I was not being myself. And then, well, finally the move is over with, and I'm getting an email from the new tenant, and she's telling me that a guy that she had staying with her, which explains some of the mess, because it wasn't just her, now it was her house guest, says that his cell phone disappeared while me and the movers were in there, which is a cloaked way of saying, did you guys steal my cell phone? So now he wants to come over to, you know, my boyfriend's place and go through all of the things that I moved out of there.
Wait, I'm sorry, your boyfriend, the district attorney?
Well,
yes.
Well, ooh. Yes, but
I'd invite him over if I were you.
No, that's a good he's card
welcome,
to play.
He's welcome to come over, and no one knows what that apartment looks like better than me, because I had to go through every corner of it and tell the movers what was mine and what wasn't mine. If there were a cell phone there, I would have seen a cell phone. So it's like the problem that won't end. Just when I think I'm out, they're now pulling me back in and saying, well, what about our cell phone? And it's just very frustrating, because when you
I would give him the number of the movers and step out of it.
That's already happened.
Yep, good.
And now the movers
good.
Have called me and pulled me in.
I know.
So
you're done. You're done.
Yeah, but no, I just wanted...
Did she know that you were coming that particular day?
Oh, I told her...
And she made no movements to clean up or anything?
No, she was in Mexico, and she had
her
a friend
problem.
Staying with her. So yeah. This is just... there's no solution to this. I'll work my way through it. Her house guest can come over and look through the things. It's possible that the cell phone is somewhere amongst my things, since the apartment was such a mess. I'm happy to help him out. But I just want to talk about this, because this is what happens when you give a little with good intentions, and you have to be prepared that the result might not be what you would have done if someone had done that for you.
Yeah, we make assumptions that other people's behavior will be made from the same value system that we would make if it was us. Mm-hmm. And we have to think more clearly about what the other possibilities are, about what people might do, and recognize we have to talk things over with them. I mean, it's got to be... We've got to do more preemptive talking it over than we think we have to do, where we say, look, here's the date that I'm coming in. I just want to make sure all my stuff is cleared away and my movers can get to it easily. And, you know, you're not going to have anything of value. We have to think of these things in advance, unfortunately.
I didn't.
Because the common sense that we would expect isn't always there with the other people. And it's not really right of us to assume, though we do, that they would think the same way that we would. So we've got to talk it over in advance in much more depth than we think we need to when we have, you know, intermingling situations like this.
Absolutely.
So now we are, though, to the point, Lee J, where Louise should do what? No more talking it over? I mean, I don't know where your cell phone is. You weren't there. The movers are the ones that touch stuff. Call them and just wash your hands.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is one where Louise can say, look, I have my own iPhone. I don't need another cell phone. I've given you the mover's phone number if you want to do something about that or file a police report. I can tell you, honestly, I never saw a cell phone the whole time that I was there. It, you know, if I had, I would have probably put it away somewhere safe for you. But that's also not my job. I got to tell you, I was really disappointed with how the apartment looked when I showed up. And you know, I think this is probably where we should stop discussing things, because I'm not happy with how things went either. Mm-hmm. Let's just say, you know, we're done. We're separated. You know, I've got my stuff. You've got yours. And if you've got a problem with the cell phone, I invite you to contact the movers and satisfy yourself about that.
Very good.
Louise, will you call us back and tell us what happens with this? it's interesting, because I know you are, Louise, such a good-hearted person, but to hear you say, be careful, this is what happens when you give a little, it's really true. It's really true. One time early in my career as a reporter, well, not so early, I was working at Hard Copy at the time, and I read a story about a woman who'd been found with amnesia, and she... had been taken in by these three secretaries. She was homeless, and they took her in, and they were getting this award for being her angels from the Angels baseball team.
Oh, wow.
And so I went and did a story on this, and I got all wrapped up later in this amnesiac woman's life. And I got my investigative hat on and I did some digging and I found out who she was. And she had had diabetes and no money for insulin. And she'd gone into a shock, a coma, and lost her apartment and lived on the street. And I found out she'd been a veteran. And I got her some veterans benefits that she was due. And, I, you know, this whole thing. But now her life was my life. And it got very ugly and very complicated with a greedy son. And, I, you know, it's like you want to help out people, but you've got to put those boundaries.
It's true. And you have to do that explicitly. You can't assume it. You can't figure that it's implicit in your offer. We've got to talk through the whole thing. And that's what gets us into conflict half the time is they have different expectations than we do. And I often say on the show, the conflict is generally the result of unmet expectations. So we got to manage those expectations in advance so that they know, you know, that I'm willing to help in all these ways. And then I'm done. That was my contribution.
Yeah, that's it. Hey, we've got an email. I like this one from Nora in Hollywood, Florida. Thomas, my only son, was never very good in school, even though we tried really hard. He's tried community college for a year, not doing well there either. Now Thomas says he wants to join the Army. I'm so afraid at the very thought of this idea, yet I don't want to hold him back if this really is the best thing for his future. Would I be out of line if I asked Thomas to take me with him to the recruiter's office so I could talk it over with a professional soldier? Thomas, by the way, is about 20 years old.
Nora, I don't think that's out of line. You're his mother. He's your only son. He's almost 20, but he's also only 19 years old, and he's about to make a life-changing decision. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, "Hey, can I come with you? Let's talk to the soldier together," and try to make it as transparent as you can that you don't have a hidden agenda. You just want to satisfy yourself and make sure that Thomas is getting the straight scoop. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I would think that recruiters would welcome that.
Yeah.
And they're probably quite used to it.
I would think so, too. I'm sure they have all the right answers.
Yeah. It probably does happen a lot now that I think about it. I have a daughter, not a son, so I never really thought about this. But you can tell that Nora is a loving, caring, concerned mother. And why not? Maybe she's a little worried that her son will feel ooky about taking mommy. You know,
I think it's more valid that she feels a little concerned that her son may end up not coming home from somewhere.
And, yes.
And, you know, that discussion, son, it's a great... I mean, how many people are in Iraq right now who got to or Afghanistan and were told, hey, it's a great paying job, you can be a reserve or something like that. And
you get benefits and education.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we're not in war times, that was a great deal. But right now, it's a much bigger life decision than I can't get a job right now or, you know, I'm not doing so well in school, I think I'll go join the Army. This is like, you're going to join the Army, you may not come home. Let's have that serious discussion about that.
Like you say, it's better to talk it over ahead of time than after.
Look, if your son is being scouted for a football team from a certain college, that they sit down at the kitchen table with the parents.
Exactly.
These are life decisions that you make with your children.
Very good comparison,
Louise.
They
shouldn't make this decision by themselves, what college they would go to, whether or not they would join the Army. In my opinion, there's still children at that age, and they make decisions that they're going to live with, that are going to be lifelong lasting decisions that are signposts in their lives, and they need their mom there, whether they say they do or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, before we leave, one more great email. This is from Joe in Boston, Massachusetts. I wish I could do that accent. My pal Carmine is considering something so stupid I'm flabbergasted. There's a funeral home here that's advertising its new Boston Red Sox custom-made caskets. And Carmine is such a diehard Sox fan, he wants to put money down now in advance to make sure he gets one. Problem is, he doesn't have the dough and he's asked me for a loan. Gee, he is my best friend, but I just can't pull the trigger on this for him. How do I talk it over?
Wow, if you do pull the trigger, he will need that casket.
All right, A, what will they license next? B, how big a Sox fan do you have to be to want the casket so bad but you can't afford it that you hit your friend up for a loan to buy you the Red Sox casket? Like, it's not going to be there when your time comes?
I'm a Yankee fan.
Me too. That's where I was going next, Diane. We're Yankee fans here. You know,
then pretend it's a Yankee casket and take this question seriously. Come on.
All right, let's see.
I was having more fun thinking that's where a Boston Red Sox fan should be.
Oh, come on, let's not do that.
Okay, here's what I would say to Joe in Boston with the crazy, silly, stupid, smelly friend who wants a casket. I would say to him, I would use the economy as an excuse not to be able to help him. Listen, Carmine, buddy, boy, I share your enthusiasm for the Sox. If I had any money that I could spare, I would give it to you, but I just don't. How's that one?
Yeah, you know, I like that very much, Diane. I also like the idea of saying something to him like, I haven't even bought my own casket yet. I can't loan you money for yours. You know,
or how about just this? No.
Get a life.
No.
Bing, bada, boom. No, no, no.
You know what? I would love to continue talking about Boston Red Sox caskets, but we are out of time. Isn't that tragic when you have such a juicy subject as that? I would like to thank all of our callers. Thank Engineer Matt, Producer Trish, Webmaster Pierce, Lee J. Berman, Diane Diamond, I'm Louise Palenker. And with that, Talk It Over is over.